Good afternoon. This is Julie Fedorchak with the North Dakota Public Service Commission. We are gathered on the 12th floor of the State Capitol for a special meeting of the Commission. It's February 23rd at 1:30, and I call this meeting to order. Okay, so we have three items on the agenda for this this meeting, and the first one is in my portfolio. Did you guys have any opening comments? I was going to just get right to it.
I do not.
Okay. All right, then I'll go ahead with JF1. I move the commission designate Commissioner Julie Fedorchak to represent the Public Service Commission in matters related to the Public Service Commission Federal Energy Regulatory Commission RP15-1022, Alliance Pipeline LP PSC comments/interventions, case number PU-15-788.
Second.
We've talked about this at a number of meetings. I don't really have any additional comments to add at this point, other than I appreciate having the chance to represent us in these discussions, and I'll stick closely to what we've outlined as our policy in our letter.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion?
I would just add that this is a common practice for the commission. For those that haven't seen it before, where I have the transmission portfolio, so I have the same kind of designation and for when I go to FERC talking transmission issues for electricity transmission. So this is not a new thing we're doing, just new first time for pipelines in a while.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Okay. The next two items are your portfolio, Commissioner Kalk.
Yes, Madam Chair. I intend to offer the motion to grant the continuance, but I would say that I could do that, and then we could discuss it, or if you wanted to discuss it first as a chair, I would offer to see how you'd want to do it, because I know where I'm going on this one, and that's what I intend to offer. But if we want to talk about it ahead of time, because we also have a motion to deny the continuance, which I don't plan on offering that. But
I think we'll just stick with the regular order, and you can offer your motion, and we can talk about it.
Fair enough. The item BK1. I move the commission adopt the order granting the motion for continuance filed by concerned citizens of Stark County and Brady Wind LLC, Brady Wind Energy Center, Stark County, citing application case number PU15-690 in Brady Wind LLC 230 KV transmission line, Stark County, citing application case number PU15-797.
Second. And if I could just make a quick comment. I'm just seconding it for the purposes of discussion. I want to clarify some things before I determine how I'm voting. So.
Absolutely. Thank you, Randy. On February of this year, concerned citizens of Stark County, CCSC, filed a motion for continuance asking to continue the hearing in the caption cases currently scheduled for March 2nd, 2016. At the time of the filing the motion for continuance, the CCSC petition to intervene filed February 12th was pending before the administrative law judge. In February 24th of 2016, Brady Wind LLC filed its motion, its response to the motion for continuance. On February 25th, the following discussion at a pre-hearing conference held February 24th, the administrative law judge granted intervention status to the CCSC, the Concerned Citizens of Stark County. So basically, to summarize in layman's terms what I just said, we had the application for the power line hearing as well as the wind farm hearing. We were going to have those March 2nd. The group Concerned Citizens requested to intervene. The administrative law judge has that authority to grant or deny, and the ALJ granted the request to intervene. Along the way, the company or the group requested us to continue the hearing. And so that's where the motion today they put forward is granting that continuance. And if approved, I've got some dates that I'll offer up. And I would say that I've considered the motion for continuance as well as Brady Wind's LLC's response. I believe that the specifically find good cause exists to grant the continuance since a notice of filing and public hearings for PU15690 and PU15797 were issued by the Commission on January 20th, 2016. Applicant Brady Wind LLC has filed with the Commission substantial additional documentation of a technical nature as late as February 19th, allow CCSC additional time to prepare for the hearing. I think it certainly is appropriate. So I would say that I believe it should be granted. I certainly read through all the different viewpoints, and understand that Brady Wind feels that they'll be offering, they'll have some significant harm to their operation. They feel it could cost them some money. I get that, but I believe due process should follow the full course. I've seen both sides of this argument, and I think that the best thing for this commission to do is to grant the continuance, allow this group the additional time that they need to prepare their case, and they'll come forward and they'll make their case, as well as, quite honestly, the paperwork that has come in. It'll give me more time to go through it. And we'll get out there and we'll have a full, solid two hearings. I'll be offering up two separate days for these hearings. And I think that the I'm basing this more on my opinion and what I feel the right thing to do is, but I believe there also is quite a bit of case law out there that if the commission doesn't support this kind of thing, that there is things set up on appeal that perhaps don't put us in a position that I like to be in. And so for me, I think this is the right thing to do. We are... certainly want to make sure we do things the right way all the time, make sure we look at all the issues. We've got a group of people that live right in this neighborhood. They've expressed concerns as to what they have in their own backyard, so I think it's certainly appropriate.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion?
Yeah, a couple things. Yesterday at some point I loaned out my copy of CCSC's request, even, and I'm not either I have lost it since or I didn't get it back, but does anybody have a extra copy of that by chance?
Did I not give it back to you?
I can't find it now.
Because I don't have it on my desk.
I thought it was in this pile, and now...
Exhibits aren't attached, though.
I think here and it's not. But
are you looking for this rancher? I have the one file about
I had mine was kind of marked up.
I'm so sorry, Randy. it must be on my desk.
At any rate, I don't
Given
think...
Given 5 minutes, I could find it.
At this point, I don't think I need it. But, you know, as of yesterday, having looked that over, first I want to ask a question. Do we need to do anything to acknowledge CCSC as an intervener, or did the judge granting them that status, does that take care of it?
Commissioner, yesterday after the commission's regular meeting and an admin meeting, a pre-hearing conference was held on this matter with ALJ and the parties being present, and the ALJ did grant the motion to intervene to CCSC. Okay. So they are an intervener at this time.
It is in our order, the motion that I put forward, as well as it's in there, those facts that Zach just said.
Okay, so I was very much yesterday leaning toward granting the continuance, even whether they got to be interveners or not, frankly. But then when I got the information from Brady Wind and the... you know, potential for damages and the tight timeline for construction and such, I find myself with kind of a stipulation on the desire to grant the continuance, and that is, it can't be just too long of a continuance either. You know, if I don't want to get into a situation where I'm saying, yep, I'm in favor of continuance, and then people can't find dates, and all of a sudden... March turns into April and into May, and a whole construction season is lost before we can really get at this thing. So I'm going to change my mind on this in a hurry if when we get to scheduling, we can never find a date.
I think to that point, we have to have a date as part of our motion.
I have two motions that prepared. The first one is the grant to continue it, and the second is the issue, the notice of continued hearing, where we'll offer dates. But I would, if you want to have the date discussion now, I have no problem with that. I put together dates for myself that I could be available March 24th, 25th, April 7th, 8th, April 14th, 15th, April 21st, 22nd, April 28th, 29th. Those are all Thursday, Fridays, where I'd offer up that we do the wind farm hearing the first day and we'd schedule the power line hearing the second day. And so the notice period, I believe March 24th and 25th is the first dates that would meet the notice period requirement, maybe a little bit earlier. But so there's five different dates that we could pick from. So I don't see that as an issue. Now, your second point, Commissioner, about the grant to continue, I understand there's two sides of this issue, and I certainly, if we receive another request to continue based on other things, I have no problem giving one continuance, but this is not a game that I would let people play, yeah, where they ask group A asks for a continuance now, and then group B comes ask for a continuance. continue this once and get the company to get all their information in that's complete. We have a full, thorough hearing, and we make a decision. And that, quite honestly, the timeline for construction, that's not a concern of mine. We go out and do the hearing process, make sure the process is followed, and we approve or disapprove that just because they have a construction timeline, that doesn't change my process of how we do things.
Is there any difference in this in that it's been noticed one time with the hearing scheduled? Are there any corners that we're able to legally cut in the timing of our legal notices? Or is about – what's the least amount of days that we could push this out there?
20 days from today, from publication. From publication, 20 days from publication. And there has been a request – that has been filed for a waiver of those notice requirements that's been filed by Brady Wind that is before the commission. And I don't believe that CCSC is going to file a response, but I can represent to the commission that they are opposed to that. I spoke with their attorney and indicated to me that they are opposed to that and are in fact asking for 45 days. And I know that, Commissioner Crispin, that goes against what you're saying. You want to, if there's going to be a continuance, that it occur, that the hearing occur sooner rather than later after the March 2nd date.
I believe the March 24th, 25th dates, if we do those early ones, that complies with everything that's currently out there. So I think that I'm not for moving it before March 24th to 25th. I want this full notice period to run. Otherwise, we're opening ourselves back up, and we want to make sure the paperwork is all in. So that's why I would say I would not support before March 24th or 25th. But I've offered up, 10 different dates to do these hearings that I think we certainly could figure it out.
If I could. I checked the publications. And from what I calculate on it, 22nd or later is what we need to meet the minimum publications requirement without granting a waiver.
And we do have 23rd a commission meeting, so
we got problems.
Move that.
Well, I'll tell you, my schedule, the 24th and 25th, are available. I don't know about others' schedules, but I wouldn't object to doing some kind of waiver on the notice either, if we could even move that to the week before that on the 17th and 18th or something like that. I think if they have a couple weeks to look this stuff over, it ought to be long enough. But if there are scheduling blocks on that.
I'm not available on the 25th.
Yeah,
that is true.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yep.
Well, I would offer up that we could do the hearings the 23rd and the 24th and move our commission meeting the 23rd to the 22nd.
We have an issue with the 23rd and the intervener has said the 24th is not available.
We're going to try to call them, though, right now.
Yeah.
Well, that's a happy to glad. I mean, if they've met the requirements, this is the date we schedule, they need to show up. I mean, we're giving them the full 45 days. So, I mean, we could go the 22nd and 23rd, too, and move our commission meeting to the 24th.
They pretty much did give us only two conflicts. The parties were giving us dates between 20 and 60 days out. And they only had two conflicts, and it was 24 and 25th. But I will go call quickly.
Well, but if that's – do they have conflicts the 22nd and 23rd?
I'm going to go check right now.
They didn't, but we did.
My problem is, Commissioner, is I have a jury trial starting on March 14th, and it's scheduled to be five – it'll go 5 days. It's going to go. It's not going to settle. And it's possible that it could – go into the next week, so I'd be hesitant to do anything earlier than the 24th, to be honest with you. I don't want to be a hindrance, and if my jury trial isn't resolved, I think that it probably will be on the 22nd, by the 22nd, but the 23rd is up in the air, at least from my perspective.
And one thing I could suggest, too, is we wouldn't necessarily have to do these hearings back-to-back.
Understood. Good point.
Well, and it may be possible to
line hearing could be a different time.
Yeah.
And we could go with the original. I mean, the original plan was just to do it in one day. We could do it on the 24th, could we not?
I have a feeling we're not going to get done in a day, but we could stay that night till we're done.
Or the 23rd, if they're...
Yeah, I have no problem doing it one day. If we do the wind farm first and we schedule the transmission later, I don't care about that. Mm-hmm. And the 28th, I'm available that day as well.
I am not.
Okay. But then we could go out to... Well, let's see what Alana comes back with, because I agree I would like to have it as quick after the notice period as we can.
Well, Alana's out. I'll just offer my perspective. I'm going to support the continuance, too, but I really felt that there was some good points made by Brady Wind in terms of the company, the people requesting the continuance. It seems could have asked for it sooner, and that would have been helpful to the whole process. And our rules, as our rules say, request the continuance as far in advance as possible. But our rules also say that, you know, if they establish good cause, and I think the good cause is all these, and I just can't, get past the fact that all this information has come in the last, week and a half or so. And it is a lot of information to digest that's relevant to key pieces of our siting, which is minimizing adverse human and environmental impact. So coming back to kind of those bigger issues, this information is really relevant to that. And I think that it warrants, giving the folks that are going to be living next to this infrastructure for the next 30 years opportunity, if it's built, opportunity to have a fair review of the analysis and time to develop their response. So in the scheme of how long this infrastructure exists, a 20 to 30-day continuance is pretty minor in order to give people adequate time to review and respond. So I think that it's the right thing to do.
So I could throw a date out there that this is the first date I have on the list that works for everybody.
Okay, Jerry.
March 31st.
March 31st.
And we also have April 1st open, too.
Those don't work for me. I'm with Great River Energy at their annual meeting talking about North Dakota energy development. That's a hard commitment.
So April 1st, same thing?
Yep, it's a two-day deal.
Ouch.
What about for that, 29th, 30th? Did we talk about
that? We have
a
hearing on the 29th. Oh, yeah. Well, actually, we don't. That moved to ALJ. So that was a mistake. So I'm also available the 29th and 30th.
The 29th is, I'm on that Senex pipeline case. So I'll be there. You guys won't be, but.
The 30th?
The 30th.
We have another meeting. We could certainly move it. That's an in-house meeting.
The 30th works for me.
Who doesn't 30th work? Or we're talking about the 23rd, right?
I'm thinking that the only one it doesn't work for is the ALJ, and he said he would be willing to find another ALJ if he could.
On the 30th? What about the 23rd? Did that date work for him?
The 23rd.
That was more my problem, Commissioner.
Yeah. The 23rd was Zach's conflict with his...
But didn't you think the 20... I thought you said the 22nd was when...
Well, just put it in perspective, I'm just not comfortable with the 23rd as being a date. I would like to be able to commit. Quite frankly, the trial is scheduled to go through the 25th, and I'm going out on a limb already. I just don't believe that it will go past the 22nd, but yeah. The 23rd, I'm very hesitant.
Maybe it's just safer to go with the 29th or 30th.
Well, to the extent we're working around the interveners, they're the ones who want the extension. They don't like this date, and now they don't like the date that works out for everybody who this date worked for. And so maybe they have to send different people than that they originally wanted to send.
That was for the 24th, though. They didn't have a problem with the 30th, though, right?
I spoke with another colleague in the office because Matthew is on a conference call. I believe Matthew has conflicts that whole week. He said it's possible that they can make the 23rd and 22nd work, but there's other issues with that. But that week must be blocked out, and maybe because it's Easter or something, for Matthew. So,
if we can get an ALJ, it looks like the 30th works.
Well, Tim said he would look for a different ALJ if he had a conflict. Yep. And as soon as I know some dates, I will call him.
But the 30th wasn't a problem for the concerned citizens of Starr County. I think we have a winner then.
The time was that week before Easter for them.
And I think the 31st is open, too.
I remember, Jerry, that's the one I got to go out to.
Oh, that's Brian's problem, yeah. Okay.
But if we do the 30th, we start at 8:30 in the morning, and we go till we're done.
Do that.
I'm okay with that.
So then we would have to.
I'm fine with the 30th.
For that second hearing in the notice.
We could start at 8.
So if we just put a time down and it's late, that's fine, right?
All right. Is there any further discussion?
Well, hang on here.
Oh, yeah, the timing. So the timing issue is if we set the transmission hearing for 5 o'clock and we're not done, is that a problem?
What if we set it earlier than that in case we are done?
Well, that's what I'm curious about. If we're, if we go on top of it, is that an issue?
We talked about this a little bit at the pre-hearing conference because I tried to get the parties' ideas about whether they thought how much time they were going to need. And everyone understands that if you have a hearing set for 8 o'clock and 1 o'clock, let's say, and you're not finished with the 8 o'clock one when you break for lunch or the 1 o'clock, you can continue that until after. You know, you could break it up if you had to and say, okay, we're going to switch to the next one and finish it and then come back at 5 o'clock or tomorrow or next week or whatever it is to finish it. Because everybody's in the room participating and can hear you say that. So you have a couple options. You could break one in order to meet the time, or you can have that second one be 1 o'clock or as soon thereafter as... The other ones
notice it that way.
Let's take a step back, though, and remember who it is that we're serving. We are acting here like the whole world revolves around us and lawyers. We're having this hearing out in Stark County because this has an impact on people who live and work out there, and to schedule these things in such a way as well so that when it's convenient for us and one thing is over, then we just start up the next one. There are people who are impacted by only one of these and not the other, and they're going to be in the middle of seeding their crops and having their cows calving out and things like that. And if your only concern is the transmission line, you ought not be expected to sit through 10 hours of hearing on a wind farm in order to just happen to catch when we're going to start the hearing on the transmission line. And if you come in toward the end thinking it'll take that long, you shouldn't have missed it. And so as inconvenient as it might be for us and for the attorneys, we need to also remember them and set these things with some amount of certainty.
You make a good point, Randy, but it's that almost calls for two separate days because there's no way to have a hearing of this nature and be very certain about what time it could be over. It might be 7 o'clock, it might be 9 o'clock, it might be 3 when the first one. So I think what you're suggesting is a separate day for the transmission line.
I don't even feel that strongly about that, but if we want to set the... I think that the transmission line is going to be probably the shorter of the two, and I wouldn't object to setting that at, 5 or 6 o'clock, and if we get done with the first one early, we're just going to have to sit and wait then because we set it a little later. And if they get there and it's 5 or 6 o'clock and the first one extends out for an extra hour or something, I think people are tolerant of that. But we can't set them both for 8 o'clock in the morning when we're pretty sure that the second one isn't going to start until evening.
Yeah.
So I'm okay with either an evening schedule for the transmission line or a different day. I'm not okay with just bulking them up at however they happen to flow. Because these are not
No, I don't think that was ever on the table. But I do think it's worth, if we're what Alana was suggesting, noticing the second one for a time and in the notice, you say, or as soon as this one is over. So people then would have noticed that there's something happening before it that might push it back a little bit.
What
if I understood you correctly, Alana.
I've got a note, the one that we prepared here, I could have the motion say that at 30 March at 9 a.m. Mountain, we would start the hearing for the wind farm. And we could go, like Randy recommended, we could go 5 p.m. Mountain the same day we start the hearing for the transmission line. And so that would be 8 hours of hearings in the wind farm to complete it. If it's done early, then we wait till 5. If it runs longer than 5 p.m., then there'll be the wind farm, or then the power line folks will have to wait a little bit. But that's short of that, I think, Randy, to do what you want, we pick a second day, so I'll defer to you guys. That's what I would offer up here is that separation of.
Since it's mountain time, should we even start at 8 maybe?
8 Central.
I think you said
9 Mountain.
Whatever you guys want.
Did you say 9 Mountain?
I said 9 a.m. Mountain, but we can easily say 8 a.m. Mountain.
No, it's the other way around. 8 Mountain would be 9 our time.
Okay. Right.
Yeah.
Whatever you want, I'm fine with that. So 8 a.m. Mountain time, and then we'd start at 5 p.m. Mountain time for the, and I've got a motion for this, 5 p.m. Mountain time for the transmission line. That sound reasonable?
I think so. Gosh, that's 9 hours, assuming that we've taken some break, 8 hours of hearings, and it still leaves us a pretty fair amount of time into the evening on the transmission line. I don't know that that's unreasonable. But I wasn't in the pre-conference. Was anything stated about an amount of time that the interveners would be expecting, or did Brady Wind say anything how long outside of questions it's going to take them to present their case?
I think what I would expect is a quote unquote normal time for the company to present its case, but in this case, because there is an intervener, there'll be additional cross-exam questions by Mr. Collins, who's representing CCSC. And there may even be some witnesses that they would call. Really, the X factor, as always in any hearing, is going to be how much public comment. And it sounds to me, from what I am hearing, is there's going to be quite a bit of public comment. I think what's being discussed right now is reasonable, in my opinion. Whether I'm wrong or not, I can't guarantee, obviously, but I think it's reasonable.
Yesterday, I reviewed what we spent in terms of time on the Dakota Access hearings, and those were between 6.5 and 9 hours. And there was a lot of public comment, and there were several interveners, including at the first hearing. So I think that we should be able to, in some respects, I think things go more smoothly with interveners because it's more structured, and they're the folks that have the complaints are focused and kind of prepared and stuff. So I think that sometimes it's more efficient when there are interveners.
Is there any precedent, or we haven't done it since I've been here, or any even legal issues with, in a case like this, giving the company a certain amount of time to present their case, and then also putting a limit on, you know, you can turn in written information if you like, but the public comment is going to be limited to 3 minutes or 5 minutes or something for each person, so that one person doesn't just come up there and ramble on and take up the time that many others would have liked to have shared.
I think that gets to be a bit tricky, Commissioner. You know, the company as well as the intervener should not necessarily feel like they're constrained in presenting. I think that in this case, the company is represented by experienced counsel who knows that time is should be used efficiently. I would expect the same from the intervenors' counsel. And then when we're potentially talking about cutting off public testimony, then that gets to be a little bit thorny, in my opinion, I think. So unless there's some type of agreement amongst the parties as to here's what we're going to limit, I would be hesitant to try to place constraints. But Alana may...
I think it's hard because a lot of times the company is... Their time gets extended because of our questions, and in this case, it'll be extended by intervenors' questions. So how would they ever allocate, you'd say 4 hours, but we could take up two of those hours just with our own questions.
I do know when I drove to Billings to testify to BLM, I got, I forget the time, I think 3 minutes, and they were sitting up there with the timer, and they just cut anybody off that went too long. And
that's the feds.
It is, and we want to be better than that. But I also would feel badly to see people take their day in the spring off to come in for this and have one person just stand up there for an hour and a half rambling on, too.
I would say, Randy,
at some point we have to
When we had the Senator Grand Forks transmission line hearings, we did have a discussion with the ALJ to help us if the witness was testifying on something that had nothing to do with the case or any the ALJ then cut him off. Mm-hmm. Do you have anything more to offer to this case, not what you heard in the coffee shop? So I think a discussion with the ALJ by our attorney is that when the witness's testimony tends to wander from what it is should be, the ALJ says that makes a little bit harder call. And that, I think, is very appropriate because the ones that we've had, quote, the rambling, it's the first few minutes is usually pretty good stuff. Then all of a sudden it goes way off course, and so we asked the ALJ to pull him back.
And actually, I would think it maybe is going to be better or more efficient in this case with the interveners being represented by counsel, because their counsel will also recognize that if one of their witnesses are going on too long, they're taking time from their other witnesses. And
right.
So maybe that'll be helpful, too.
But I think what we'll see is a case by the interveners because they don't like the wind farm, and they'll present their case that way. But that there will be members of the public that like the wind farm that are not represented by counsel. So, I mean, we're going to have
There'll
still be a lot of public testimony.
Yeah.
I think so. But I think this is a great setup of the 8th to the 5th.
Okay. So we've got your motion.
Well, we still have the first motion on the table to grant the continuance. And then we got sidetracked on the time because that potentially swayed my colleague's vote down there.
And so the date we wound up with was...
March 30th. We've got the first motion is to continue it. That's the one I think we have to vote on. Then I'll offer the second motion with the time that we've discussed.
Right. Okay.
Any further discussion on the first motion? Sensing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is approved.
All right. Thank you, Daryl. For my next motion, I move the commission. Wait a minute. I almost moved to deny it. Long paperwork. That's not right. That would be confusing, wouldn't it, Dave? In a strange move, the commission, one motion. All right. Let's try this again. Okay. I move the commission issue a notice of continued hearing in Brady Wind LLC, Brady Wind Energy Center, Stark County Siting Application, case number PU15-690, in Brady Wind LLC, 230 kV transmission line, Stark County Siting Application, case number PU15-797.
Second.
Okay. Here we go. The public hearing on the application in case number 15-690 that was previously scheduled for March 2nd, 2016 is continued to 30 March 2016 at 8 a.m. Mountain Time at the location to be determined inside Dickinson. Is that okay to say it that way because we don't know the exact location? We know it's going to be in Dickinson, but you...
I think we can confirm at the City Hall if it's at that date, Commissioner.
Okay. And then the second part of the motion is the public hearing on the application of case number 15-797 that was previously scheduled for March 2nd is continued to 30 March 2016 at 5 p.m. Mountain Time in Dickinson, North Dakota, with the exact location to be determined very quickly. Brady Wind Farm filed the application for site compatibility, constructing up to 150 megawatts of wind energy development, 87 turbine locations. In Stark County, North Dakota. I don't think we need to go through all that.
Second. Did we
all seconded.
You seconded.
Motion.
No, okay. This is his...
This is the second motion, but we had a second on
this
it. You guys
discussion.
Both seconded.
Okay.
So But, Daryl, you believe that location is correct?
Yes. Yeah, that's the only – I mean, I gave you the dates where they could not, and that date is open for them.
Okay, so just to clarify, for case number 15690, which is the Wind Farm, it'll be 8 a.m. Mountain Time at City Hall in Dickinson, North Dakota. For the case that's the transmission line, number 17797, it'll be scheduled at 5 p.m. Mountain Time, also on March 30th, also at City Hall in Dickinson, North Dakota. I believe that should clean everything up.
Here we have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion? Since none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Okay. That concludes the items on our special meeting. And so we are adjourned.
Do you want any questions?
Well, questions. We can still can we be adjourned with questions?
Just a couple.
Sorry.
Did I hear you say that the Brady Wind folks have filed a whole lot more technical information since this issue came up?
That is correct.
No, not since this issue came up.
No, since since we heard that there was a group that was considering asking.
Well, I see your question, Dave. I don't believe they filed a whole bunch of information since this request. It's just we've had a lot of information come in the last few days.
Yeah, the last few days.
So I don't think they're related that sense, but their argument to continue it was there's been a bunch of information coming in very recently, so we want more time than March 2nd to go through that.
When they were looking at intervening and intervening about the same time, a lot of information, and, you know, this is the stack that came in since then of various environmental studies and a bird and bat and that sort of thing. Studies came in, and that was a key piece of their argument that they needed more time to evaluate that to be prepared for the hearing.
But I would say that is not uncommon for wind farms or for pipelines, for that matter. We tend to get a lot of information right before the hearing, so I wouldn't want to make the argument that this is something different. This happens quite often.
No, it's just that people don't object that often.
That's right. Right?
I mean, people haven't said to us previously, we need more time to look at all of this information.
And basically, the consensus was they deserve to get the continuance just because of all this of all the information that's out there, and needed time to do a little studying.
That's what was my viewpoint of why I agreed to the continuance.
Our rules require them to show good cause. In my opinion, they showed good cause by virtue of referencing all the information that had come in within the last 2 weeks that they wanted to review and to be able to appropriately present their case at the hearing.
And I agree with that, too. You said consensus. So.
And Brady Wynn's contention was that they're worried about the construction season being lost. Is that a fair statement?
I think there was a variety of things they put in there. I think cost and things like that were very big to them, and the fact that there was also some arguments that they made in there that the attorney representing this group is not new to our process, and so he's been involved in other cases. So this individual certainly knew the process, the procedure, and was using this as almost a delaying tactic. And so, but I think it was cost. They had an attorney that was experienced on the other side, so there were some very good arguments in there. But back to Commissioner Fedorchuk's point, the fact that this information came in at this point, I think that was probably the tipping factor that put me back the other way.
Brady Wynn said, you know, pointed to the fact that this group had been involved with at the county level in some of the zoning and permitting there, so they clearly knew that this project was going on back in December, and so they have had plenty of time to review it. And again, if that was the end of it and everything had been filed in our notice had gone out and there hadn't been all this new information, I would have agreed with them that they asked too late. But there was a lot of new information to consider, and so I think that they showed good cause.
And Brady Wynn's contract for selling power has a firm end date, and so they need to do a lot of construction in order to meet those contractual goals, and that involves, you know, staging areas and things like that. So they're very much wanting to get a good start at the earliest possible date in April. So
Brady Wind has contract to sell power.
I believe so, yes.
I believe with Basin Electric, actually.
With Basin Electric. I think you mentioned that at the...
I will say, too, Dave, we've not had the chance to go through the full hearing process, obviously, but, you know, I find it hard to believe that our final decision will be the thing that holds this project up one way or the other. There's a lot of other things going on in this project right now. And so I look forward to having a good hearing and making a decision relatively quickly. So I think that our timeline is not going to throw off their construction season. I think we'll make the right decision, but we push us back a few weeks. But there are a lot of many other things at play in this wind farm that not our jurisdiction.
Anything else?
Alyssa?
I wanted to get a quick interview afterwards. Because I didn't bring my plug in.
Excellent. That's fine. Okay. All right. Then now we're adjourned.